Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Ori Eisen, founder and CEO at Trusana, the leading provider of enterprise-wide passwordless multi-factor authentication. Also joining us is Frank Abagnale, an advisor to Trusana. His riveting story provided the inspiration for Steven Spielberg's 2002 film, Catch Me If You Can, starring Leonardo DiCaprio as Abagnale and Tom Hanks as the FBI agent on his heels. To learn more about Trusana, visit trusana.com. Ori, Frank, welcome. Great to have both of you with us again.
Glad to be with you. It's great.
Thanks for having us.
So, Frank, most everyone knows your story provided the inspiration for Steven Spielberg's 2002 film, Catch Me If You Can. For the past 40 years, you've lectured to and have been consulted by the world's largest organizations and the FBI. What are you up to these days?
Well, working with some new technologies like Trusana, but I have to tell you, in the 45 years, I am just totally amazed how fraud is getting bigger and bigger every year. Just fraud against the government, fraud against businesses, fraud against consumers. As you know, during the pandemic, cybercrime went up 300%. Scams went up 400%. The U.S. government gave $630 billion to 50 states to pay unemployment insurance. So far, $68 billion of that money has gone out to fraud to a lot of people overseas, foreign actors. And we expect that to raise to about $100 billion. So 45 years later, I'm just amazed how much fraud just continues to grow every single day.
Well, people are going to be hanging on your words, Frank, because 2 years ago when we met you, you told us exactly what was going to happen. It was hard to believe, and you were exactly right. So, Ori, before we jump in, just quickly, how did you and Frank meet each other? I know he's an advisor to Trusana now.
I met Frank for the first time 19 years ago. I was still working at American Express, and I was looking for a mentor who will help me understand how counterfeit fraud works, whether it's with cashier's check or traveler's checks or credit card. And time and again, Frank's name came to light. There's a fun story, if you want to Google it, on Business Insider about how I persistently called Frank in his office for months on end to ask him to help. I believe that at this point in our life, we're not just working on curbing crime. We also have developed a personal relationship, which I'm very grateful for. But we've met through me looking for somebody to help. And I'm so happy, Frank, that you've joined the journey and that you've taught me most of what I know about counterfeit.
Thank you, Ori.
So, Frank, a lot of people are tugging at you. I mean, you're in demand. How does a company like Trusana get you to pay attention and commit your time?
Well, for years and years, I've talked to Ori. I've written in my books that I've written about passwords. Passwords are for treehouses. They were invented in 1964 when I was 16 years old and just a young kid before I did any of the things I did. And next month, I'll be 73 years old, and we are still using passwords, which is absolutely amazing to me, knowing that passwords are 83% of why we have ransomware, why we have breaches. It's just amazing that we would still be today using passwords to get into some of the most secure environments in the world.
Oh, 73, you actually look like you're getting younger, seriously. So, Ori, you know, passwords, we know they've plagued security at organizations globally, but tell us, you know, over the past, you know, couple of years, have we made progress? You know, is this getting worse? Is it getting any better? You know, where are we with the world, you know, really looking to go passwordless?
I'll answer it this way, Steve. If the three of us were working for the other side and we were paid by how much we can steal from corporations by breaching and using passwords, I hope you'll see that there's just no end to what we can do. Every day that goes by that companies still use static credentials to enter into employee accounts, into their customer accounts, what we really are saying is that if those things were breached at any point from any source, that we're welcoming the bad guys to waltz into these accounts. And I know it sounds bad when I say it, but that is what's happening, because the cost of change or the idea of what it will take to change sometimes overwhelms people. And they think, I can live another year without changing it. But if we look at the amount of money that Frank just described, just by unemployment insurance or just what happens because of breaches and stealing identities, I don't think if you're listening to this recording and you have the power in your company to affect change that you should wait, because we have to add second factor to every single login we have. And the faster we get rid of passwords and add a second factor, the better we will all be as a society.
So Frank,
and I would just add to that. Just add to that, that I worked with Ori for 10 years on developing a technology called the 41st parameter, which is fraud detection technology. Eventually, that was sold to Experian. Ori never had to work again a day in his life. But we sat down 5 months later and said, you know, we really need to rid the world of passwords. We need to come up with a way to do that. And so we started again and developing TrueSona for the sole purpose of doing that. And we're well on our way to doing that.
So, Frank, when you talk to C-suite executives, CISOs at large enterprises, where are they in this passwordless journey? Are they really listening? Are they taking this to heart? Are companies starting to do this? You know, we see some high profile companies like Microsoft, and it's well known, you know, that they've made a lot of inroads. But what about most organizations?
I think most people are afraid of change. They don't want to change anything, or they think their customers don't want to make changes. And so sometimes they're a little reluctant to look at the technology or actually act on the technology. But listen, if you don't do anything to prevent crime, you're just causing crime. So these companies that don't do anything with the idea that it can't happen to me, I don't want to spend the money on the technology, are just waiting to be a victim. So I think people need to be a little more proactive. You know, we spend $80 billion in the government to stop cybercrime. Over $160 billion worldwide has been spent to cybercrime. But we need to really look at the things that actually work, and we need to put those things in place, and we need to encourage companies to do so. But that's all part of education, and that's what we try to do.
So, Ori, fear of change, obviously, you know, that can be a barrier. But I have to tell you, I was a bit skeptical up until we met. You came on. You gave us the world's fastest demo. I thought it was a lot of hype. It's not. There's no hype there at all. You know, I've watched it over and over again. I've shown it to CISOs. Couldn't believe what I saw. So it's definitely not, you know, the complexity of the technology. What is it that holds people back, you know, aside from fear?
Well, I'm going to start again by trying to recruit people to go do something today, because otherwise I am not doing the best I can to affect change. To anybody who's listening, if you have your company using WordPress, just as an example, going passwordless is free. It's been free for years, and I would urge you to go try it and take one piece of your business off the equation so it can't be defaced and can't be used. And when something is free, the only reason for the change not to happen is really you. So I'm imploring you, go try something today to stop using it. Because to your question, Steve, the only reason people have not moved is in their mind's eye, it looks like a big change or a big shift. But in fact, it's easier to use afterward. It's cheaper to operate because you don't get all these pesky password reset calls to your help desk. It's more secure because now even if somebody stole all your username and passwords, if they're not usable on your homepage or where employees log in, it doesn't really matter. So yes, it's hard. And I know we had changes in, you know, the history of humankind when elevators were invented. People were afraid of them and they would only go in if there was a human operator, right? There's all, every time new technology is being invented, there is some skepticism and some reluctance to adopt it. But at this point where the bad guys are tilted so much in their favor, where they're literally waltzing into accounts day in and day out, we as the good guys have to do something. Otherwise, I have to agree with Frank. If you're not doing something actively today to block crime, you're part of the problem.
So Frank, maybe you could put, you know, going passwordless into perspective for us. You know, CISOs at large enterprises, you know, they've got a lot on their plate. And, you know better than anybody else, you know, what they're challenged around. Everything from training employees in the company to implementing an array of different cyber defense technologies. Where does going passwordless fit? If you had to stack rank that up for us.
I think it should be one of the first priorities. And listen, if you're a little concerned about that with your customers, there's always the option, if you're a major airline or insurance company, to when I go to that website, it can simply say, do you want to sign in with your password or do you want to sign in with no password? So you still have the option to your customers get used to it. And I think the more and more people go to, I want to sign in with no password, they will get used to that and they will do away with signing in with a password. So there are a lot of options to do it, but you have to take the first step and make it available and then give people the option to do that. You know, I've given over 3,000 seminars in 45 years around the world. Last couple of years, I've spent about 38 states on behalf of AARP, speaking to thousands and thousands of their members. And when I talk about no passwords, they actually start applauding. And right. These are older folks who would love to see us get away from passwords. For most people, it's very confusing. It's difficult to keep track of, and you constantly have to change it. And of course, for banks and corporations, it's extremely costly. So there are a lot of good reasons to have no passwords in effect. But again, it's a matter of education and getting people to understand that.
So, Ori, you're able to demo the technology in less than 10 seconds. Anybody can go out to our site and see it. So maybe in 30 seconds, you can give us the elevator pitch on Trusana. What does the company do? Because people need a solution if they're really going to affect this change.
Today, we operate in B2E with employees and B2C with consumers. We provide both SDKs that you can plant inside your brand's app, or you can use a Trusana app for your employees to allow every single point of entry into the company to be protected without the use of static credentials. That's what we provide. Most people decide to go with their employees on a journey that starts with their desktops. It could be Windows 10 or Mac. And then we can cascade that trust from a passwordless login to their SSO. That's the most common first step. Another common first step that people do for free is, as I said before, go to WordPress, download it, and play with it, just so you can see what it's all about. With the B2C side, as Frank says, we do have now statistics to show that if you give customers the option to log in without passwords, you'll notice that 70% of them will go to that option immediately because they're craving it. And if you do some priming, some emails that say, hey, now our brand allows you to log in without password, for the laggards, the people who never tried it, if they try it once, 94% of them stick with it. So I do want to implore people, don't give any excuses to people won't like it or it's change. We know that. But the cost of doing nothing is the cost you should really weigh. What are we really saying as a society, as the people who should defend the internet, if we're not going to bring the change that is needed? Because the bad guys are winning, last time I checked.
So, Ori, when you were with us last time, you showed us how to go passwordless with two very popular apps, WordPress, which you just talked about, and Salesforce. Can you basically use Trusana to go passwordless with any enterprise application?
At this point, the answer is yes. We are using standards like SAML2, OpenID Connect, Radius, and so forth. So most applications today have hooks to use that. If we can't, you can always go on a project to add, custom APIs to some very old systems. But most things you log in, your desktop, Office 365, any SSO you might be using, applications like Slack, like Salesforce, Zoom, we can now have a passwordless login. All the videos of what it looks like are on our website. I know this is not a sales call, but it's just imploring people. You don't have to use what we have developed with Frank. Use something, but don't leave username and password as the main way to get into accounts.
So, Frank, with COVID-19, are people distracted? Are security leaders distracted? Is that potentially, part of why we're not seeing companies do it? And more importantly, should it be motivating them to, get off their butt and like really take this serious now and do something?
Well, all the fraud we've seen and all the scams and the increase in fraud and scams during the pandemic, with people sitting at home in front of their computers in an unsecure environment, fearful and falling for just about anything that comes across their screen, this should be the time that should be most CISOs and people in the cyber world should be aware that this is a major issue and this is the time to do something about it. This should be the reason to start attacking the problem and going after getting rid of passwords, which we've been advocating for years.
You know, it's amazing. I was talking to the CFO of a large corporation, can't name names, but working from home, and I know that they're logging in, that they're typing a login ID and a password, and it's really scary to think that, computer is sitting there, left unattended sometimes, and that's just, I think an example of what the world looks like right now.
Absolutely.
So, Frank, do you have any parting words and advice for the world's business and government leaders around cybercrime and cybersecurity insofar as, action they should be taking over the next year?
First of all, I'm a true believer that every company should have a CISO, and every company should have a CISO on their board of directors, and companies need to start listening to their CISOs if they want to protect their infrastructure and protect their company. As I've said for many, many years, if you make it easy for someone to steal from you, and it's unfortunate, but chances are someone will. Cyber insurance is good, but it will not save your reputation. Today, companies have to really start thinking about how they're going to protect themselves. And listen, even if you're a small business, there are many companies out there that provide that technology for you or handle that technology for you to make your company safe. But as I tell every company, the most important job everyone has in that company, from the CEO to the janitor, is protecting the information entrusted to them by their clients and their customers.
So, Ori, to ask you, quickly before we let you go, touch on what Frank just spoke to, small businesses, can they go passwordless? They don't have a CISO. They're obviously struggling with IT support, with cybersecurity. Is it practical for them?
I think the answer is yes, because most small business still have an IT person working for them or an MSP, somebody who does it for them. Many of our clients just simply ask their service provider, hey, can you help me? Go scout a solution. So we end up working through MSPs to get there. To continue where Frank left off on the COVID-19 situation, I want to emphasize one point. There is no more on-prem anything. If you used to authenticate your employees because they stuck an Ethernet cable to your wall or they were on a local Wi-Fi, all that is gone by the wayside, at least for a year now. Everybody who logs to your network looks like a hacker, right? They're coming either over a VPN or something else. How do you really know who's on the other end? I think COVID-19 is the best reason why budget should be spent both to move things into the cloud, but also strengthen the credentials to get to the cloud and not rely on username and password. So even if you're a small business, you don't have to go it alone or do everything. You can ask your service provider, do you have a passwordless option? So the pull, the demand will cause them also to bring these solutions to bear.
Well, Frank, thank you for telling us about TruSana a couple of years ago. It's been a pleasure, watching TruSana grow. For anybody who wants to see Ori's demo, just do a Google search on the world's fastest cybersecurity demo. It's worth the 7 seconds, trust me. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Ori Eisen, founder and CEO at TruSana, and Frank Abagnale. His riveting story provided the inspiration for Steven Spielberg's 2002 film, Catch Me If You Can, starring Leonardo DiCaprio as Abagnale and Tom Hanks as the FBI agent fast on his heels. To learn more about TruSana, visit TruSana.com. You can keep up with all of our media at CybercrimeMagazine.com.